Amen. I'd like to take the opportunity once again just to say thank you to those who helped. And I'm going to scan the audience, and I hope I don't miss anybody. I always take a chance of doing, take a risk of doing this. And if I do, please forgive me. But I'm just going to kind of scan, and I see, okay, Brother Brandon and Ms. Jessica. Thank you guys so much for the work that you guys did, the effort and the skits. You guys are nuts. Brandon, you are crazy. He is crazy. Such a good actor. Amen. Let me see. Let me scan here. Brother Obenauer, thank you for having a part in our skit. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you so much for your help. Let me just scan Brother Cook. Oh, my goodness. I can't say enough about Brother Cook and Brother Jantz. Brother Jantz, you were magnificent. I mean, honestly, praise the Lord for just the songs and just everything. And Brother, I'm not taking anything away from you, but I want to tell you something, Brother Randy, and I praise God for you, and I don't want your head to get all big, and I know it won't, or I wouldn't say it. I never heard that song sung so well. Not Bring the Rain, the first one. My Chains Are Gone. Oh, my goodness. You know, he sung that. I've heard him sing that 3 or 4 times here since I've been here in 17 months, but I'm telling you, God was all over that, and it was a blessing, absolute blessing. Thank you so much for your participation as well. Oh, let's see, I'm going to scan, and I'm going to miss somebody I know. Where is Mrs. King? I see Mr. King, Brother King. Please tell her thank you so much for her help in the registration and in the kitchen. Brother and Mrs. Fiesler, golly, I can't say enough. Y'all were just so... And Brother Fiesler stepped right in. Brother Kurt, he was planning to be my head official, usher official, which they were busy. They were busy. But he was going to be my head official and head it all up and kind of supervise him. And then at the last minute, he got called into work. The railroad called him in, and he called me that morning, left me a voicemail, and said, I'm sorry, I can't be there. But thank you guys for getting the shirts for us and for the willingness. I know you would have been here, I know. But Brother Fiesler so willingly just stepped right in that spot and headed up the ushers. And thank you, Mrs. Fiesler, for all that you did, helping with the registration. And Brother Cobb, thank you. For jumping right in and being one of our officials and cleaning up egg and puke. And it wasn't quite puke, but almost. But almost, right? Okay, let's see. Let me scan over here. Oh, Mrs. Henderson, how can I forget you? 500 and something cookies Mrs. Henderson baked. 500 and something cookies she baked for the teenagers over here. And there were very, very few of them left. I mean, just a small pan of cookies that was left. There's probably none in there left now. But there were a few left. And those ginger, were those ginger snaps? Oh, those were delicious. I love those. They were great. Just a hint. Yes, that was a hint. Just a hint. Let's see, I'm going to forget somebody. I hope I don't forget anybody. Ms. Vicki D., thank you so much for helping out with the kitchen, the registration. Brother John, Miss Samantha, I knew y'all don't want... She didn't even want to come and take pictures with us when I had them come up. Brother John, thank you for being our MC, for heading up all the games. Where's Brother Adam? Is he here? Brother Adam? Upstairs? Adam Young? Thank you, Brother Adam Young, for all the help heading up the games. Thank you, Brother John, for MCing it. Miss Samantha, she's almost as crazy. I'll tell you, they'd balance the horse, wouldn't they? They'd balance the seesaw and being crazy in the skits. She was tremendous. I liked the part where she got hit. You know, Jantz hit her. Jantz punched her. And she took it like a man. Because she said he hit like a girl anyway, so... you had to be there. It was tremendous. And I think we got a lot of that on video. We're going to try to get those up in clips. And we just thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much for hanging in there, for coming early and setting up, for staying late and tearing down. Let's see. Thank you, Miss Roberta, for coming and playing the piano for us. And you took pictures and videos as well. And thank you so much for coming and staying and helping through the songs and playing for the congregationals, the invitations, the specials. Thank you so much for that as well. Oh, who am I missing? Don't let me... Oh, thank you, Miss Pat. Thank you, Miss Pat, for coming as well and helping out. I'm telling you, there's so... Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Where's Mrs. Gilbreth? She's not here tonight? I can't forget our nursery workers. There's so many little things that go on that people just don't recognize. They don't know that's happening behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, Brother Jantz, was able to be out here and sing and be part of the skits because they were babysitters. Thank you, where's my daughter Jessica? Thank you, Jessica, for hanging in here. She was off. She'd been working, but it was the Lord's will because she wasn't actually supposed to have Saturday off. She was supposed to have the day before off, and her boss called and said, "Oh, I need you today, but I'll give you Saturday off." And I went, "Aha." So guess what? She didn't have Saturday off. But thank you, Jessica, for coming and being willing to be a babysitter so that everybody else could actually be out here and participate. Thank you so much. So I hope I'm not... Who am I missing anybody? Please, don't... Miss Tanya, huh? Brother Mosley. Thank you, Brother Mosley, for coming. Yes, sound. How important is that? Good night. We'd all be hoarse today if we didn't have our sound. Thank you for orchestrating, coordinating all of that. That was not an easy job either. That was not an easy job, just making sure that the right person had mics. Everybody had mics. There was a lot going on up here, and they had to... It was a job. I see somebody pointing. Who else did I miss? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Cook. I'm getting there. We're going to get around. I'm going to say thank you to everybody. I want to say thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Cook, for coming and helping. Did you help in the kitchen, right? Thank you so much. I mean it. It's not a little... You know, everybody thinks, oh, I just did a little... Everybody pitching in to do a little makes a lot. And when one person pulls away and doesn't do it, then that means other people have to do a lot on their own. So don't let me miss anybody. I really want to recognize everybody that helped. Ryan Spivey. Thank you, brother. Yes, Brother Ryan. And you know what? Because Brother Gilbert was actually going to be one of my officials also. And he had to go out of town. And so that made me short. So I was down to four. And then Brother Kurt got called. And that left me down to three. And I was sweating bullets. And then I realized, okay, well, we text Ryan. We asked if he could come. And he had a game that morning. But he was able to make it here by, what, about 11:30? You had something that morning. He had to sleep in that morning. Oh, he was chauffeuring that morning. He had to take his seat. Okay, so he made it back by 11:30 to help out, and what a tremendous blessing. Thank you so much for coming and helping, putting on a official shirt and being a big help. I'm telling you, it's everybody helping out a little bit. Thank you, Miss Tanya, for coming and helping in the kitchen and around and kicking people and whatever else you do, whatever you do best. Amen. Brother Jerry, for cleaning up the flower bed, amen. While I saw you out here, what were you doing? Flower bed. He came out here and helped his wife. Thank you for being a good husband, amen. Did I miss anybody? Don't be afraid to point at somebody if I missed them. My wife, we didn't do anything. I said when we were putting our calendar together, I said we want to have a rally. Now she and I, as a pastor and a pastor's wife, we have gone to a lot of youth conferences. We've taken teens to youth conferences, and they can be very, very good. And we wanted to do that here in a smaller, lot smaller scale. But I'm telling you, I am not the kind of guy that pays attention to details. I'm bold print type guy, and she's fine print. And the details were her idea. I promise you, I'm not the detail-oriented person. I'm semi-organized. She is ultra-organized. And if it wasn't for her picking out I can't even begin to tell you all the little details that I missed. In fact, when we were sitting up in the office and she said, "Okay, did you think of this?" I really started getting mad when she started telling me all the things that I missed. Not mad at her, just annoyed. I can't believe I missed that. I missed that? Good night. How did I miss that? And I missed so much. I couldn't believe it. And I thank the Lord that he knew what he was doing, amen, when he gave me her. He knew. And so praise the Lord. Now, we didn't have any kids that actually made salvation decisions. And really, that really didn't seem to be the thrust of the night, because we knew that the majority of the kids who came were church kids from youth groups, and the majority of them were probably saved, and we did give invitations as such. But, you know, the thrust was, hey, you're going back into school, or some of them were already back in school, had been for a week. We wanted to say, just fly right, man, do right. Just hang in there and live for Christ and be the light that you ought to be in a dark, dark world. Amen. And the altars were full. And so praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And we'll put it on the calendar again for next year. And hopefully I'd love to see it double. Like I said, 146 kids were counted And then with our workers, it was probably closer to about 160, something like that. So praise the Lord for our first one. I thank you again so much for all your effort. And we'll get the pictures. Miss Roberta already got a video up of me playing baseball, such as it was. But if you want to see that, you just go to her profile on Facebook and you can see that video. We'll get some more of them up tomorrow. Thank you, Michelle. Is she here, Michelle? She took a bunch of pictures too and gave us a CD already that we can look at up in the youth room. We'll get those on the internet for you real soon. All right, if you'll open your Bibles then to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I knew I was going to do that and on purpose. I'm not going to prolong the message. I'm about 99.9% sure we will be done before 7 o'clock. Because I just have a truth I want to share with you. Well, a couple of truths. But they'll be fast truths. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm just going to stop right there for a moment, and we'll go on in here in just a minute. Young Timothy had quite a job ahead of him there in Ephesus. And I believe that God knew what he was doing, of course, when he penned this, but also taking into consideration that Timothy was a little timid. We know that from some of the other passages that we read that Paul had written to Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. He was a young man. He had to tell him, don't be afraid to do this and don't be afraid to do that and preach. I think that he had to tell him, but thou, man of God, thou, man of God. He challenged him and he encouraged him and he strengthened him. But also, the Word of God, as we know, was not written only to Timothy. The Word of God transcends the ages. The Word of God transcends speaking only to one person in its strict application at the moment and speaks to us as well in the year 2010. When he said, fight the good fight of faith, he wasn't only talking to Timothy, he was talking to us as well. Now, Timothy needed to hear it, but we need to hear it as well. Now, I'm not going to try to lay the groundwork and establish the fact that we are in a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. We have to understand that although we bring some of the troubles on ourselves, and God brings some of the troubles into our lives on purpose, but the devil's real too. We have to understand that we have to put on our armor, as the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians. Why? So that we can fight the devil. Because he's out there, and if we go out into the battlefield without our armor, we are susceptible to injury, spiritual injury. We are in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Amen or not? I mean, I don't want to try to lay the groundwork there. That's another sermon. If I had to bring y'all into that, I'd like for you to amen with me. If you really, honestly, and truly believe there's a real devil, thank you, Miss Clark. There's a real devil. There's a real battle. He hates us. He hates God. I think he knows his days are numbered. I think. But he's going to do everything that he can to bring you and me down. He does not want us to succeed. He does not. You think the devil's just going to stand idly by and let us go out and win souls to Christ and try to disciple them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Word of God? And do you think the devil's going to sit idly by and let us have youth rallies and do things to reach the world and not do anything about it? So it's a fight. It's a fight. And every day when we walk out of the door of our house, we walk into the battlefield. We walk into the arena. It is a fight. And so the Word of God says, fight the good fight of faith. And it's a fight worth fighting. Amen? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, Pastor preached a message on this a little while back. I don't think he was here. I heard him preach it. And he brought this truth out, lay hold on eternal life. And I'm not going to dwell on it, but I want us to understand he's talking to a saved man here. So he's not telling him, get saved. He's not saying, lay hold on salvation. He's saying, make eternal life the main thing in your life. The verses prior to that, he's trying to establish the fact that what does he say? I got to back up here. Look at verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. He said, don't get sidetracked with all life. Don't let life sidetrack you from the main thing. The main thing is eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Young Timothy was a little timid, and he needed the encouragement to keep on going, to press on, to fight the good fight. But as I said, the Word of God transcends the ages, because some of us in here are a little timid. And when we have to fight the good fight, sometimes we want to take a step back. Sometimes we don't really want to fight that fight. But we need to be encouraged to go out there as well. We need to be encouraged and motivated and strengthened to go out there every single day. Because you know what? God knew that there would be days when we did not want to get out of bed. God knew that there would be days when He knew that there would be days that were darker than nights sometimes. He knew that there would be deep valleys to pass through. And God knew that even in your life, there were some of those that you've loved and some of those that you've helped. The most are those that would hurt you the worst. God knew that that we needed to be encouraged and strengthened as well. And so He tells us, just as Paul was telling Timothy, fight the good fight. And then I believe that in the next few verses, I find four reasons why I ought to keep on fighting the good fight. Why I ought to keep on keeping on. And so if you wanted to entitle this message, I would title it Motivation for the Battle. Motivation for the Battle. Now I want you to look with me first of all in verse 13. Why should I keep on fighting the good fight? Why should I keep on? Why should I get up every morning and put that armor on? Why should I bother going out there and knowing that I'm going to hit the devil head on, that we're going to clash? Why should I just keep on keeping on? First of all, in verse 13, he said, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Now, I'm not going to pretend to understand why Paul felt it was necessary to identify God as the God who quickeneth all things to Timothy. And we know that the word quicken means to make alive. I don't understand. I'm not going to pretend to understand all that is implied there, but I know this much, that God quickened me. And it was necessary for me to see. He said, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. He said, Timothy, you got to keep on fighting the fight, if for no other reason, because you're saved. Because you've been born again. Brother, here's motivation number one, is because of the common salvation. The common salvation, and there's nothing common about it, but you know the term in Jude is the common, the one that we share, the common salvation. Brother, the reason we ought to keep on keeping on is because of the common salvation. I've got to remind myself from time to time, hey, I am saved. I've got to remind myself sometimes. You ever sit down, maybe on your back porch, if you guys live out in the country, you ever look up in the stars and see, I mean, just the sky, just a blanket of stars. You ever look up there, just sit back and look and say, I can't believe that in the vastness of this universe that God recognizes me. I mean, you ever stop to consider that? I believe that the psalmist said that. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We have to do that from time to time. We need to recognize that in the big scheme of things, that man in size is like one little grain of sand in all the seashores of the earth, and yet we have God's full attention when we kneel to pray. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? And I have to realize that I am saved. I'm saved. Why should I keep on keeping on? Because I didn't deserve to get saved. I don't deserve it. Look, God wasn't getting a bargain when He got me. He might have got a bargain when he got some of you, but he dead sure didn't get a bargain when he got me. I had nothing to offer God. Nothing whatsoever. I didn't come to him with any real talents. I didn't come to him with any kind of anything that I could offer the church. I was a loser till he put me on his team. Amen. I'd never been a part of any real good winning team till he put me on his team. I didn't have anything to offer God. And I have to realize and I have to remember that I do not deserve heaven. I find myself being so ungrateful sometimes. So ungrateful for the things of God. So ungrateful for the blessings He's given me. So ungrateful for my salvation. So ungrateful for the fact that I'm going to miss hell and make heaven. Just so ungrateful. I've got to stop and remind myself. I get up in the morning and I breathe His air and I eat His food and I enjoy His creation. And so many times I go through the day and I don't even say thank you for this air. You ever get up sometimes and just feel grateful about it and actually see a beautiful sunset and say, Lord, thank you for letting me see that. I do it from time to time, but not as often as I should. If for no other reason, I need to keep on fighting the fight because I'm saved. And you're saved. Man, we ought to get up in the morning and put our armor on and get out there and get ready to take whatever the devil's got to offer us simply because we're saved. Man, I'm saved because of the common salvation. I need to stop thinking, oh, I like what Brother Smith said up here the other day when he was here preaching. He made this statement. He said, we're fools to think that the devil can offer us more in our Christian life than God can. We don't want to acknowledge God in the morning. We want to get up and just walk right into the day without ever stopping to take time for God. Thinking, maybe not in word, but certainly in deed, implying that the devil's got more to offer than God has. We need to, look, let's keep fighting the fight. Keep on going out there. Keep on living for Christ. The just shall live by faith. Just keep on walking by faith, living by faith, witnessing by faith, telling others about Christ, living for Christ in school by faith. Fight the fight. It's a fight in public school. I'm sure it's probably a worse fight, a harder fight in public school and school than it is in any of our job sites. I mean, I've been in some pretty rough job sites, and the railroad is not a good job environment. Construction is not a good job environment. Hardly any real world job environment is a good one, but I would rather be in those right now than to have to face a day in public school. But you guys have to fight the fight. You have to keep on fighting the good fight, if for no other reason, because you deserve hell. You think about it. You deserve to go to hell. But in spite of it, God saved you. Now you're not going to. We deserve hell, but we're not going to hell. Man, I can have a fit and fall in it. I mean, I can shout about that. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. The common salvation. Let me show you something else. Look again in verse 13. Why should I keep on fighting? What's another motivation? I see in verse 13, he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. I can keep on keeping on because of not only the common salvation, but because of the confessing Savior. The confessing Savior. Look, if Christ stood His ground before Pilate, knowing that the truth was signing His own death certificate, I reckon I can stand for my convictions too. I reckon I can fight a little bit. I reckon if Christ could do what He did, knowing that He was getting ready to endure the cross, knowing that He was getting ready to be ridiculed and shamed and suffer the way that He did, knowing that just for standing up and witnessing a good profession in front of Pontius Pilate, if He could do that, I reckon I can too. I reckon I can stand a door or two slammed on my face. I reckon I can take a cussing out now and then for trying to tell somebody about Jesus. The Word of God tells us, you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. How many of us have had blood drawn from our bodies because we wanted to stand for the truth? Maybe one or two. I had somebody threaten me one time down in South Fort Worth with a knife. He didn't even pull it out. He said he had it, but I never saw it. It was enough to make me go to the next person. I mean, I'm not stupid, amen. If somebody says, get out of here before I cut you, I'm going to get out. If he didn't, you know, that's between him and God. I tried. Throw the track at his foot and left. No. But that's the honest truth. You and I have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And brother, if Jesus Christ can stand, I can stand for my convictions. I can stay conservative. It's worth staying. It's worth it. We don't have to go the way of the world. We don't have to go the way of the liberal Christian. We don't have to go that way. As a church, we can stay conservative. I'm telling you, folks want this. They want this. You just watch and see. They'll go to these churches. There's one going up out yonder. It's going to be a liberal church, just like its cousins or its sisters. Going right down the road here. The Fellowship of the Parks. I'll just say the name of it. It'll be liberal. You just watch and see. It'll be liberal. And I'll guarantee you there'll be a whole lot of them come here. They'll come because they get tired of that liberal stuff after a while. That liberal stuff and the productions on the stage. And I reckon, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth staying conservative? Is it worth doing right? It is worth it. It's worth it. Hebrews 12, verse 3 and 4. Let me read Hebrews chapter 12 for you. Hebrews chapter 12, listen to this. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Here it is. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I reckon I can take a little bit of criticism. I reckon I can stand to be a little misunderstood. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight, not only because of a common salvation, but because of a confessing Savior. If Jesus did it, I should be able to do it. Hey, we should walk in His steps. He was willing to stand up for what's right. I'm going to stand up for what's right. We can do that. Let me show you something else. Look at verse 14. The Bible says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that again. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. A third reason, a third motivation for the battle, it is because of a commission that is steadfast. A commission or a commandment that is steadfast. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 11 verse 29 that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Look, God called us unto salvation. God called us to be ambassadors. Look, you may not have been called into full-time service. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a pastor or a youth pastor or an evangelist. You may not be in full-time service for the Lord as far as that goes on staff somewhere. But we're all called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we signed up, when we enlisted in this army, it was not a short-term deployment. No 3-year deployment and then you return and then it's all over. No, this is a deployment that lasts a lifetime. Amen? This goes on forever. This is not just for a little while. God told us to be ambassadors until He comes back. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Life in the Christian race is not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon race. Amen? We don't just go for a little while. We're to fight the good fight of faith till Jesus comes. And that means as a church, as a preacher, we ought to use a little wisdom in doing it, but the fact of the matter is, we ought to stand up and still preach against homosexuality as an abomination to God until Jesus comes, not just until they say that doing so becomes a hate crime. We do it till Jesus comes. We ought to keep preaching against, and it's right to preach against some things. Amen? And as Christians, as parents, and as pastors, we ought to preach against Christian rock, Christian rap, Christian reggae, until Jesus comes, not just until our kids start listening to it and then it becomes okay. Uh-uh. Say amen right there. Come on. Amen. It's amazing some of the things that I used to preach against when my kids were little, and then when they started getting up, I'm like, oh boy, do I really want to preach? Because now my kids are doing it. Hey, it's still, if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And we got to keep preaching against it. We need to keep preaching faithfulness and the provision of God. You know, should I do it? It's lifelong. I'm going to skip over that. Colossians chapter 4. Because I'm not the pastor, amen. There are some things I just shouldn't say. I'll let the preacher preach on that. Colossians chapter 4, I love this verse. You don't have to turn there. But I love this verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Second to the last verse in the last chapter, he says, "Say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." I love that verse. Fulfill it. Finish it. He said, make sure that you keep on doing it till it's done. And that's not going to be until Jesus comes. Brethren, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to stay on the fighting line. We got to stay on the firing line. Just stay in the battle until the Lord comes. Let me give you one final thought. Look at verse 15 with me. I'll read verse 14 again. It says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know, I have one more, the most motivating factor for fighting this fight, and that is because of a crowned and coming sovereign. Amen. Hey, Jesus is coming back. It is a truth that we don't digest on a daily basis. Because honestly, folks, if we really lived, if we really believed that Jesus could come back today, there's a whole lot of things that would have changed in our lives. Whole lot of things. Look with me in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, you know, I've seen a lot of things. I've been around America quite a bit. I've lived a gypsy life. I really have. I've lived all over the place, never stayed in one place too awful long. Just never have. Just all my, even from a little kid, just moved around a lot. And I've seen a lot of things, a lot of places. I've seen a lot of beauty. I love America. America's beautiful. I've been overseas, and you know, I've been to the Alps, and it's pretty. But I'll tell you what, there's no place I'd rather be than America. I love America. It's got some. There's beauty here that I've yet to see, and there's a lot that I have seen. I grew up in Tennessee. I loved it as a kid, getting up in the morning and sitting out on the porch. I've always been a morning person. Oh, I love mornings. I love early mornings. I'd get up in the morning, and as a kid, I'd go sit out on the porch, and I'd sit there and wait just to watch the fog lift off the ground. I used to love to watch that as a kid. I could step off of my back porch. When I was growing up, I could step out of my house onto the back porch, and I could see the back hills of Tennessee. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Just love it. And I used to call the Smokies the Great Smoky Mountains until I went to Washington and I saw beautiful Mount Rainier. We used to get up in the morning, and from our kids' bedroom window upstairs, we could see Mount Rainier every single morning from base to peak. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, you hadn't seen mountains till you've seen Cascade Mountain Range. Beautiful, beautiful. I've seen a lot of pretty things, but there are some things I'd like to see. There are some things I've yet to see. I can't wait to see streets of gold. I can't even imagine that. I mean, gold, transparent. So gold or transparent, or at least mirror, I don't know. I really don't even know how to think about it. Streets of gold. You know what else I'd like to see? Saints of old. I want to see those of old. But more than that, I want to see the shepherd of the fold. I can't wait to see the Lord. You know, we think, well, look at with me in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, look with me in verse 11.
Let's read a few verses. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I'm telling you, he came the first time as that meek and mild, lowly Lamb of God. But this time when he comes back, he's coming as a lion out of the tribe of Judah to rule and to reign. And brother, I'm going to be with him on a big white horse. Amen. I can see all of those peace activists out there holding up. I can't wait to see wait to see the look on Obama's face when that sky splits open and Jesus comes back and it's Jesus and not Muhammad. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back. That's a motivation to stay in the battle. He can come back any time. How long have we been preaching that it's imminent? He can come any day. Any day. A crowned and coming Savior. Not a crucified Savior. Not a meek and lowly lamb, but a crowned sovereign is coming back. And we ought to stay in the battle because He could come back. I'd hate to be sitting on the sidelines while everybody else is in the battle and I'm back here. Maybe I'm sharpening my sword or I'm shining and polishing my sword or something and everybody else is fighting when the Lord comes back. I want to be in the thick of it, man. I want to be right in the battle when He comes back. Just fight the good fight. I don't want to be laying back. I don't want to be a casualty of war. I want to be right in the midst of the battle when the Lord comes back. But I want to show you one more verse. I'm looking at that clock. It's saying 1 minute after seven. And this is the final verse. I got to show you this. You turn over to Romans chapter 16 because this excites me to no end. And I hope that you don't crucify me. I may not be interpreting this correctly. I'm probably not. This is how I see it. But we understand that when He comes back, He's going to show all the kings of the earth who is the King of Kings. He's going to show the little lords of all the earth who's the Lord of Lords. And you know, the Word of God tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2 that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And he's also called in 2 Corinthians the god of this world. Well, over there in the book of Romans, chapter 16, look with me in verse 20. The Bible says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." You know, the devil's going to have his day. He might be having a field day today. He might be the one that's causing us to be in this fight. In fact, He is the one that's causing us to be in this fight. This fight, and look, it wouldn't be much of a fight if He wasn't active. And I know that He's been giving some of y'all a hard time. And I know that it's the devil who has sometimes caused you to be a casualty maybe for a little while. He's the one who caused people to talk about you, and maybe you've even wanted to give up on God from time to time. And sometimes it's the devil that brings things into your life and makes you almost want to quit. But I want you to look. God said that, yeah, you know, He's going to have His turn at the devil. He's going to have His turn. He's going to get His time at the devil. But I want you to look at that. He said, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." And I'm sure I'm not interpreting this correctly, at least not in its fullest extent. But you know what I believe God's going to do? He's going to allow us who've had to contend with the devil all of our lives, He's going to put a little peace down at our feet and give us the opportunity just to go, wham! To the old devil. He's going to give us the opportunity to bruise Satan under our feet. That's probably not the way it's going to happen, but I'd sure like to think that I'm going to get a little piece of Satan one of these days. Amen? I don't believe the Lord. I believe that He's going to let us get in on it. I know that if I was an older brother, and I had some bully that was constantly picking on my brothers, I'd probably get him in a headlock and I'd say, "Now, go ahead and take a lick." Amen? And I believe that our big brother's going to do that. I believe he's going to give us a little peace. I believe he's going to lay him at our feet and say, go ahead and take a stab at him. Wham! Bruise under our feet shortly. I'm telling you, I can't wait for that day. I'm going to stay motivated for the battle because I got a crowned and coming sovereign. He's coming back. The Lord's coming back. Fight the good fight. Look, we can't slow down. We can't stop. We can't back up. We've got to keep on going. There's a dying world. There's a lost and dying world waiting on, counting on us to stay in the battle, to keep fighting the good fight, stay on the firing line. We've got a common salvation. We've got a confessing Savior. We've got a commission that's steadfast, and we've got a coming sovereign. And we've got to stay on the firing line. Amen. Fight the good fight. Let's stand together. Our Father, once again, I just pray that you help us to take this simple message, apply it to our lives this week as we go out there and contend with the devil, contend with the world. Lord, that we'd find some motivation for the battle, that we would realize that we're saved. We deserve hell, but we're going to heaven. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember that Jesus Christ stood before Pilate and he made a good confession. He stood for right, and we can too. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember that we've got a call on our life as Christians that will last until Jesus comes. And then, Father, help us to remember this week as we fight the fight that one day you're coming back, and it can be any day. Help us, our Lord, to fight the good fight. There are some out here this week who are going to have to fight it mighty hard. And I think about these teens over here on my left. They're in a battle that people my age and older really never had to really fight. It's worse there than it was in our day. And I pray you'd give them grace. I pray you'd give them strength. I pray you'd help them to fight the good fight. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.